This is our live broadcast from the Whitehorse Spring Festival. My name's Neil Butler. I'll be with you till 3, but till 2.30 I'm joined by the inimitable Paula Hogg, who is here. Paula, you're normally broadcasting at this time of the week.
I am. This is my spot to broadcast some great music. And I was just looking around outside, Neil, before I came in here, and there are a couple of great bands happening out there in the sunshine. FAQS, Facts.
Yep.
Doing some great stuff. And the Funky Monkeys Circus Band for the kids.
Sounds like something like the Clapton Whoopi Matchbox Band, whatever that band was called all those years ago. But yeah. We are here in the presence of another guest, and you might like to introduce him for us.
I will indeed. Chris, welcome. Chris Truman, who's from the Whitehorse Active Transport Action Group, WATAG. Hi there, Chris. Welcome.
G'day there, Paula. Thanks for having us in.
Now, you have a rather special look today. You've hobbled in on crutches, and you're wearing a sign around your neck that reads, "You don't want to be on crutches. Go to the WATAG stall and see how you could win a beautiful new bike." What's that all about?
Well, we're very interested in getting people in the community interested in being active. Being active makes you healthy and saves the community a lot of money and makes people far happier. And to encourage people to do that, we want to find out, first of all, what makes them active at present or why they're not being active at present. Active by meaning riding a bike or walking or using public transport. And one of the ways of finding out why they're being active or not is to ask them, and we're asking them in an online survey. Now, to encourage people to enter an online survey, we're giving away a bike. Look, it's a really lovely bike, too.
That's a pretty good prize. And maybe we'll just sneak your web address in there too while we're thinking of it. WATAG.org. Very simple.
WATAG.org.
Right.
And there's no .au on the end for those of you who go, I can't find it, it's not working.
No.
WATAG.org.
That's it.
But what happened to you? Why are you now on crutches?
Oh, well, I was riding along Mont Albert Road into the city about 4 weeks ago, and a car suddenly stopped in front of me. Pulled in front of me, turned in front of me, in fact, and I put my brakes on very heavily and fell heavily on the road and broke my femur,
which wasn't very nice. Oh, dear, but it'll mend, I hope.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll mend. It's got lots of titanium in there now. It's a very strong leg.
Oh, good. You have an interesting experience getting on planes for the future.
Well, they say that won't be affected because titanium isn't like steel. It doesn't set off all the airport things. Yeah. Only for X-rays, but not for the magnetic sort of stuff.
There you go.
You've learned something new today.
I've learned a lot about all this since I've been how they fix broken legs so you can walk around in 4 weeks is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And you are a fully functioning not-for-profit organisation. So how does it all operate? How do people get involved with what you do?
Well, we were a group of cyclists principally, but people are very interested in being active in terms of walking and mobility for people who are less able to get around. And we were quite concerned that people in the community, and particularly those in local government and state government, were not being particularly aware of how the full range of people using the full range of cycles and mobility carts and all that sort of thing, they weren't really aware of the difficulties that they were causing when they were designing things according to so-called standards. And so we decided that we'd form this group to try and bring about an awareness about that. One of our group every week takes a blind lady riding on his tandem bike. She sits on the back and he rides for about 30 or 40 kilometres every week from Nunawading out to all different places up to Ringwood or way down to Doncaster or somewhere other. And the difficulties he strikes in going on are supposedly standard bike paths that council engineers have designed. The difficulties he strikes are amazing.
He comes
back every week with problems.
Right. You would lobby councils, I guess, and the
state
government,
we'd like
perhaps?
We'd like to work with councils just to make them aware of it. It's easy to say, they're always wrong, but most of these guys, the engineers, they haven't had broken legs and they aren't blind and they perhaps haven't had time to take the kids to school on with the tag-along bike on the back because they're busy going to work. And all those things are real problems if you don't take them into account. One of our members is a disabled guy on a mobility cart. Woody lives up at Heathmont, and Woody gets all around the place in his mobility car, and the difficulties he has are amazing. So we'd like to try and get councils to fix those problems.
Do you advocate for people to use bikes as a mode of transport around the city?
Yep, we advocate for people to use bikes and walking for all sorts of, all purposes. I call myself a utility cyclist. So my wife and I will ride to the opera in the city, from Blackburn into the city and back
home. In your fine threads?
Yeah. Well, we sort of take a change of clothes so that we can look pretty. We're lucky we've got a spot we can change in the city if we do get a bit. It will drive in, riding quite slowly so we don't get hot and sweaty.
Right.
And then we'll ride home again. Sometimes we catch a train home if the weather's changed. But so we ride to that. I ride to council meetings up here when I come up to do a bit of lobbying, or I ride to the local shops to do, you know, not the weekly shopping, but the sundry shopping. Right all over the place.
I have to say, you know, I don't think that's something I'd do, you know.
Ride a bike?
Well, riding on the roads, you know.
And to me, this is where there's a bit of a chicken and egg situation, isn't it? That, you know, those, they call them tow-alongs where the kids are in the... I think they're frighteningly dangerous as a motorist because you don't see them until it's too late. Right. But at the same time, there's not enough of them on the road to do anything about. We should be doing something about it so there's more of them on the road. And you've got this kind of a paradox dilemma thing, don't you, in that respect?
Yes, you do. Yeah. I mean, the road I was riding along, Mont Albert Road, near Campbell Grammar, is a very busy main road. But it has a dedicated bike lane down it, so that in the mornings there's no parking and you can ride down this nice green lane. But there are things they could have done on that road which would have prevented my accident.
Mm.
Just some simple road, an extra road marking at the intersection I was at would have prevented that accident.
I have to say I was horrified last Sunday night when that thunderstorm hit, waiting for a bus on Punt Road, to see various cyclists in that weather without reflective gear on, with perhaps one flashing light, which I think anyone could have missed, and you couldn't be blamed for having missed them.
Look, I totally agree with the poor. I think some of the cyclists are their own worst enemies in that regard. And my wife and I ride along, we look like a circus, you know, lit up at night. Yeah. So, I agree. The whole community has to be aware that this is something that happens. We've ridden around in Holland, in Denmark, and other places, Estonia and Latvia, Finland and places like that, Sweden. And they're a pleasure to ride around because it's a different ethic in the community.
And I think the traffic moves a lot slower over there. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think the other thing, though, that I was brought up in Doncaster, at East Doncaster, and now live in Geelong, so I've sublimed to the outstanding. And two things that strike me about being in Doncaster and not using my bike is, A, he says, pretending to show hills. Like serious, serious hills. And the other thing is, from a public transport perspective, my family moved there in 1968 because the train line would come through soon.
Right.
And as far as I'm aware, it's not there yet. And so you're stuck with these buses. You might as well be driving your car. And that, to me, is the real challenge. To get cars won't get off the road and be replaced by that, where you've got to ride up huge hills and down huge hills.
Yeah.
In a place like Box Hill, is probably not as bad in terms of the hills. But, yeah, I think that's a big challenge in terms of serious public transport in areas that have none, ineffectively, even the buses.
Well, that's true, Neil, but it does highlight that people tend to think when we talk about riding that you're going to ride from here to the city.
Yep.
Or you're going to be riding seriously to work, you know, many, many miles away. Most journeys are 3 or 4 kilometres, and most journeys people make, and they make them in their car still, up to the local shops or see the doctor or go to the solicitor or go to the local shopping centre, and they're 2 or 3 kilometres long. And those journeys can generally be done along quiet back streets, if only they were made safer,
yes,
in the sense that they could be marked to be make all the cars aware that they're bikes. They could be made slower, down to 40 kilometres an hour, and it'd be safer for kids to walk out in the road and so forth. And that's what we're advocating, is to get local cycling working so that people just make it part of their normal life, that if I want to go to the library, well, why would I think of getting the car out when I can just go and jump on the bike and it's 2 kilometres away and I ride to the library?
Yeah.
Mm. Terrific. And we'd avoid some of the traffic snarls that I encountered today.
Yeah.
I had to bring it around to post-marathon traffic in the city this morning.
Yes.
A bit extreme,
I left Geelong this morning at 6:45 and I thought, coming up Geelong Road in a car, I thought it was a bit far to come by bike. And the sign saying Melbourne Marathon. I thought, oh, no. No, but fortunately this year they stuck it at St Kilda away, so I was able to get around it.
Yeah.
So, yes, but Chris, we are going to have to wind this chat up very soon. Just to remind us again of the website, because there's going to be a whole lot of info on that website, I suspect, that we couldn't get a chance to talk to about today.
WATAG, watag.org. watag.org.
And on offer is a 21-speed hybrid city bike if you complete their little survey. So get in there.
And they can do that online.
Yes, it's only done online, yep.
Okay. And just
a few weeks to do it, yep.
If memory serves me correctly, the WATAG stall here, if you are here, is number 15 off the top of my head.
Yeah, that'd be great if the stalls were numbered, Neil.
Yeah, oh, okay. numbered. It's numbered on your sign. I think we're in number 6 for people. So it's not next to us. There you go, I can tell you that.
No. Over near the SES. Everyone knows where the SES is.
Well, we just had Steve in from the SES wearing the most brand new SES uniform I've ever seen. He almost lit up when he walked in. He's so orange.
But they're all great guys.
They are terrific guys. They do a wonderful job. But so do you, Chris, as well, a Whitehorse Active Transport Action Group, WATAG. Thanks for joining us at our Spring Festival. Paula, thank you for giving up your 3 hours.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we're
my
sorry pleasure. That you had the traffic snarls, but it's always nice to work with you. Chris, when I do my program on a Sunday once a month, I follow Paula. So her audience is there until about a minute past 3, and then they're out of the door because I'm on the air.
The
but
loser.
That's it, absolutely. But thanks for joining us, Chris. Thanks for joining us, Paula.
It's a great pleasure.
We are going to have some more music, and I've got to go through. I think we've got Daryl Braithwaite this time. It is Daryl Braithwaite. He's going to sing about some horses, and we'll be back with a new presenter and a couple of more guests as we lead in towards 3 o'clock. This is 94.1 FM, 3WBC, live from the Whitehorse String Festival.
94.1 FM, 3WBC.